Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I'm excited that you have taken time out of your schedule to join me for another time in the Lord. Well, before we begin, I just want to say to everyone, Happy Thanksgiving. Amen. We bring you much greetings from Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and we pray not only that this will be a time of fellowship, amen, but that this will be a time for all families to come together, lay aside any differences, and just begin to love on each other, begin to allow the love of God to just spread in your hearts and just spread to other people. This is a time to just give up yourself, amen, and think about someone else besides you. It doesn't matter, amen, who did you wrong. It doesn't matter the misunderstandings. Right now, we just have to lay it all aside for this season and just begin to just love, amen, and forgive, and just begin to share and partake in this season, and just be a family, amen. So we just once again wish you a happy Thanksgiving, and just go into this season believing God is going to do it greater in your life, believing God that he's going to answer some prayers, amen, believing that God is going to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Amen. Just want to go quickly in the announcements and then get into this word. Amen. As many of you know, every Tuesday at 7 p.m. and every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. And you can hear all of our broadcasts live at www.ctkr.org. And while you're there, please go to our Contact Us page. There you will see a link, amen, for prayer requests, information, and speaking and engagements. We also invite and ask that you would pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Amen. Those are my quick announcements. Let's go into prayer and then get right into this word. Father, right now in Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. You said this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and we are glad in it. Father, as we come before you, we just say thank you. Thank you for another day. Thank you for another year. Thank you for just being able to partake in this season. Father, I just pray that all the families will come together in love and just begin to embrace one another, that they would begin to build family traditions and and build up where places have been torn down in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Father, as we begin to go forth in this word, we invite your Holy Spirit. We just say, have your way. Begin to minister to us, God, your heart, your mind on this matter. Help us to understand what true thanksgiving really means according to the kingdom. Now, God, as we come, I just say, have your way. Open up the ears and the hearts and the minds of your people to receive your word. We say yes to your will. We say yes to your way in the mighty name of Jesus. We give your name all praise, all glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Just want to go into the word on this evening. Since it is the Thanksgiving season, it would just be a perfect fit to just talk about true Thanksgiving, the spirit of Thanksgiving. We have many people today that really just focus on the pilgrims and the Indians coming together, or the Native Americans, as we say now, coming together, or pilgrims coming together over the Mayflower and just celebrating the first Thanksgiving. So a lot of people focus on the food. They focus on the visitation of the family, everyone coming out of town. But I just want to talk about tonight just the spirit of Thanksgiving as it relates to the kingdom of God. We have to really understand that as a Christian, that we must always be grateful. We must always have praise on our lips, thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. We must always remember that it is God that has made us and not we ourselves. We must always remember that he is the reason why we do what we do. We must always keep him first. Amen. In every area of our lives. We can never get it twisted, people of God, that what we're doing is because we did it and we had the power and we had the strength and looky what I did. We can't focus on that. We have to remember and fully focus on that we must always, amen, call upon his name. We must always continuously remember that our whole day, our lifestyle, the reason why we get up in the morning, everything must reflect and to give his name praise and to give his name thanks and just to glorify him. I want to come out of the book of 1 Chronicles, which is in the Old Testament, chapter 16, starting at the 8th verse. The book of Chronicles, amen, chapter 16, starting at the 8th verse. I am coming out of the New King James Version tonight, and we're just going to do a little bit of traveling in the Word as the Lord sees fit. Amen. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8, and it says this: Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him. Sing songs to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Verse 11, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works which he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, your children of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are all in the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant which he made with Abraham and his oath to Isaac, and confirm it to Jacob for a statute, to Israel for an everlasting covenant. And the word of the Lord is blessed. Amen. Just coming out of this, we have to understand that this was a psalm that was written by David, amen, when he was just giving thanks and praise of God's protection, amen, when he was on the run from Saul. And we have to understand, people of God, that these seasons, Thanksgiving and Christmas, it has to just be more of a focus than just November and December. We have to understand that as Christians, we have to always give thanks. We have to always give his name praise. We have to always glorify him. The Bible says here, amen, in 1 Chronicles 17 and 19, he says, O Lord, for your servant's sake and according to your own heart, you have done all this greatness in making known all these things, all these great things. 1 Chronicles 17 and 19. And so many of us, we have lost the understanding of what gratefulness and thanksgiving really is. We really have and believe, for some of us, that it was our hand that caused us to get the wealth. It was our hand, it was our way of how to network with people that gave us the favor of places and doors that we walked in. It's who we know, and that's how we got there. But we have to understand, and I mean really understand, that thanksgiving is just more than that. We, people of God, are created for his praise. We are created to worship him. The Bible does say, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. We must give thanks to him. If it was not for him, many of us, or let's be honest, all of us would not be where we are today. Don't ever get it twisted thinking it was you and, you know, my favor, my hand, who I know, you know, all of my information, my scholar aptitude is what got me here. No, that's not the truth. We have to understand that it is because of him, because of his favor, because of his strength, because of his hand up on our lives, because of the calling, amen, that he has placed on the inside of us, because of the vision that he's placed on the inside of us, is the reason that we exist. It's the reason. He is the reason. And we have to fully get that in our spirit, that Thanksgiving should just not be the focus of November and December, but Thanksgiving needs to be 365 days throughout the year. Every day that you open your eyes, you need to say, Lord, thank you. I thank you that you kept me. I thank you that throughout the night, you know, there was no hurt, harm, or danger. I thank you that I have a job, for those of us who are employed. Even if you may be struggling in that area, but you know what? You still need to thank God, because some kind of way, God is making a way for you. You may not have everything, like I said before. There may be some issues. There may be some struggles. But where you are, you have to, in everything, the Bible says, in everything, give thanks. I believe, amen, in my heart, people of God, that the reason why, for many of us, the reason why the hand of the Lord seems to be closed is because we have traded thanksgiving into complaining. We have traded thanksgiving into being critical and judgmental. We have traded the thanks, amen, into grumbling and complaining. Listen, we teach our own children that when somebody does something nice for you, the proper thing to say is thank you. Even in the simplest things, if someone holds the door open for you, you say thank you. If someone allows you to cut in front of them in line, you acknowledge and say thank you. When someone gives you a gift, whoever it may be from, we say thank you. Why? Because it is the right thing to do. We're showing gratitude. We're showing the fact that we are actually delighted, or we actually are touched by people looking out for us and saying, you know what? I thought about you more than I thought about myself. Well, I don't know about all of that. And you know what? Because you may not know about all of that, that may be the reason why things aren't moving in your life. It may be the reason why God is not moving in your life. Because we just need to say thank you. Sometimes, people of God, as we go into prayer, we don't need to go in there with our list of, God, I need this and I need that and I need you to work that out and I need you to kick the devil over here and I need you to bring this to me and get that for me and fetch this and fetch that and oh, by the way, do this on the, and then bring that to me. Sometimes we just need to take some time in that prayer time with him and just begin to say, Lord, I don't want anything else right at this moment. I just want to give your name praise. I just want to say thank you. I just want to give your name glory. I just want to acknowledge for what you have done. And I promise you that if you begin to do that, amen, you could just get happy all by yourself before you even begin to ask God to do anything, because the Holy Spirit will start rolling and rehearsing in your mind what God has done for you. And the more you give him praise, the more you give him thanks, the more the Holy Spirit begins to fill the room. The more his presence, the stronger his presence begins to acknowledge himself. The more that you begin to give him thanks, amen, you find yourself crying out. The more that you begin to give him thanks, the more that he begins to show you and reveal to you things that you've forgotten years ago. He begins to just rehearse them in your mind, rehearse them in your heart. Remember I did this? Remember you thought you was going to lose your mind here? Remember when so-and-so left you and you thought everything was falling to the ground? Remember how I saved you? Remember how I opened up that door for you? Remember how I made that way? Remember the favor I gave you upon your ministry? Remember that building? Hey, remember when your family members were in the hospital and I raised them up? We got to give him some glory. We have to realize, people of God, that it's never about us, but it's always about him. And that's what I want to get over to you tonight, is that we need to be a people that are more thankful. The definition of the word thanksgiving is the act, number one, of just giving thanks. Just giving thanks. Or a prayer, an expression of gratitude. I don't know about you, but I do more for people who are grateful. Not demanding, talking about this is what you need to be doing, and this is your job, and you ought to be great, glad I'm here. The devil is a lie. Listen, when you realize and recognize that people don't really have to be bothered with you, doors don't have to open for you, you don't have to have, for those of us who are leaders, no one has to open their church door to you. No one has to fellowship with you. For just regular people, no one has to invite you anywhere. No one has to recognize you. Nobody owes anybody anything, but we all owe everything to God. And we really need to get off of this that people owe us something. Nobody owes anyone anything. But yet we need to owe God everything. And then when we recognize how we owe God everything, then we'll start treating people differently than what we do. The act of giving thanks. A prayer of expressing gratitude. A public acknowledgement or celebration of divine goodness. I like that. A public acknowledgement or just a celebration of his goodness. Sometimes we just need to tell, as we're out and among the world dealing with life and everyday situations, sometimes you just, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I praise you. You don't have to be shouting, jumping up and down the aisle. You don't have to be shouting and jumping up and down in your cubicle. But sometimes you just need to open up your mouth and just express, Lord, I thank you. I praise you. As the songwriter wrote, one songwriter, it could have went another way. And for some of us, it did go another way. But when the enemy tried to destroy, God built up the standard. We got to get more thanksgiving in our spirits. We got to get more of a thank you in our spirit. And not only in our spirit, but in our mouth. That word, just the word thanks, simply means a good feeling that you have towards someone who has helped you, given something to you. A good feeling that you have towards someone who has helped you. Verse 8, he says, listen, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. You need to tell somebody. I need to tell somebody. We need to tell somebody the goodness of Jesus. And as the preacher used to say, and all that he's done for me. We need to let someone know that God is good. Even in the list, we try to give the testimony when we've been to Hades and back. We want to give that testimony. But sometimes you need to give the testimony in the small things. God works in the small things just as much as he works in the miracles. Every testimony is important. We just want to testify of the miraculous, and that's great. We got to. We need to. We need more of his to see more signs, wonders, and miracles in the church. That must happen. It's got to happen. What's the purpose of being saved and saying that God is mighty, God is great, and he could do anything, and we don't have anything showing of what he has done? We must have those testimonies. But just as well, we need to have the small testimonies. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. He wants to hear you talk about him. He wants to hear. He wants to hear his creation say how wonderful he is. First Chronicles 17 and 20 says this, and this is just a quick song. He says, O Lord, there is none like you. Nor is there any God besides you. According to all that we have heard with our ears. Oh, Lord, there is none like you. And there really isn't none like you or none like him. Nor is there any God beside him. Sometimes we need to bring into remembrance who God is. In our own lives. Verse 9 says, talk of all his wondrous works. The Amplified Bible says this. Verse 9 says, sing to him, sing praises to him, meditate on, and talk of all his wondrous works, and devoutly praise him. Talk about them. Some of the old saints, we laugh at them, but they had something right here. You see now, you could tell those saints that really have, I remember some of the old mothers how, and the old deacons and all of them, and the old elders, those who are really connected with him when they're used to giving him praise, when they're used to giving him thanks, when their whole life and their whole being is about Jesus. They would get up in testimony service or just begin to talk about him. Just stand up and just say, you know, the Lord has been, hup, hup, hup. Then they start talking in tongues. The minute that they would begin to say his name, because they would just talk about the goodness, and they would just begin to spout out his word, his spout out his language, begin to talk about how wonderful and miraculous he was, and just giving him thanks. And every time they would do that, the Spirit of the Lord would always make his presence known. Now, we would laugh at that and talk about him, because for half of us, many of us, we have not crossed over into that realm. We have not allowed God to become everything. We have not allowed him to become completely and utterly submerged in our lives, or we haven't become submerged in him. That's really what I want to say. We're not submerged in him. We still have our own way of doing things. We got Jesus here, but then I still got my own little secret life over here, or I got my own thing going on over here. So I'll give you about 75%, or I'll give you about 85%, but this last little bit right here belongs to me, because, you know, I got to have a break. You know, you can't be holy all the time, you know, so holy, so heavenly minded, but no earthly good. But you won't take that step, but yet, you want everything that God has for you. The minute you call upon his name, you want him to move in the wind, move in the mountain, and move in the fire. When you lay your hand or when you speak your word, you want everything to shift and shake and break. But we can't allow ourselves to be completely and submerged into him. We can't allow ourselves, we can't give over all. And I'm not saying, people of God, that we don't need to enjoy life, but I would rather enjoy life in Christ. When you are completely abiding in him and his word is abiding in you, you can't help but talk about him. You can't help but sing praises about him. You can't help but talk about his wondrous works. And I think for some of us, we're ashamed because he's really not abiding in us. We don't really want nobody to know. We're still trying to carry our own identity. We're still trying to create our own identity, and we're not really ready to fully accept that our identity is in Christ. You're no longer yours, but you were brought with a price. And many of us are not ready to come into that full acceptance and understanding. So we struggle with the things that God has called us to do. We struggle for some of us, we struggle in ministry because we're really not fully ready to accept all that God has called and demanded and commanded for us to do and be. So we teeter-totter. For many of you, you've heard that those prophetic words, walk in your calling. Walk in it. God is saying, walk in it. And we say, oh, yeah, we snot and we roll and we fall out and we got to be carried to the bench and fanned and brought back. But then we get up and we still walk in that same line of understanding. I say yes, but I'm not making the full change that I need to make in order for God to completely have his way. Because for some of us, we know that when we say that yes and when we really get in his face and he begins to reveal to us what he really wants us to do, we're not ready to make that sacrifice. That's another message. Listen, he says, sing to him, verse 9. Sing psalms. Sing to him, sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. In that chronicle in verse 16, I want to go back to the Amplified Version on this. And then I'm going to go to the Message Bible on it as well. 9 says this, sing to him, sing praises to him, meditate. That means think on. That means you got to get somewhere quiet sometimes and begin to think about what God has done. Meditate on his goodness. Meditate on, talk on all his wondrous works and devoutly praise him. Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Yearn for and seek his face and to be in his presence continually. What prophetess? In the King James, it says, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. But in the Amplified, it brings a little bit more clarity. It says, seek the Lord, seek his strength, yearn for, desire, seek. In fact, let's look up that word, yearn. Because I think we read things in the Bible and we have our own interpretation, but we really don't fully understand what the Spirit is really sometimes saying here to us. I'm coming out of the regular dictionary just to try to bring a little bit of light to this. And as I'm waiting for that, he says, listen, that word yearn for, we're talking about verse 11, now seek the Lord and his strength, yearn for and seek his face and to be in his presence continually. That word yearn there means to feel a strong desire or wish for something or to do something, to long persistently. A person that yearns to make a difference, to feel tenderness or compassion. To yearn for, to long for. See, when you get into his presence and when he becomes your sole focus and reason for being, then you're always going to seek to spend time with him. Anyone that we love to spend time around, you make it your business to get in their presence. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, family, best friend, female or male. When it's, or something you like to do, when it's anything that you enjoy doing, you make time in your busy schedule to get into the presence of that person, that place, or that thing. You yearn for it. It begins to consume you. And when you're out of the presence, when you're not able to connect with it, you start feeling a sadness that is in your heart. You start feeling a longing, a yearning. And that is the relationship, people of God, that the Father seeks with his creation. He longs for us to worship him. He longs for us to give him glory. He longs for us to magnify him and recognize him. And he also wants that reciprocated. He wants you and me to have those same feelings towards him. Not just when he can do something for us, but just to spend time with him, learning of him. And the more time you spend with somebody, the more you learn about them. Seek the Lord and his strength, yearn for, seek his face, and to be in his presence continually. For some of us, that's an issue because we have other things on our agenda besides spending time in the face of God. But yet, we think we're so important that we want everybody to stop and hang on to every word that we got to say. Every word that comes out of our mouth. We want people to hang on the edge. We want that same. We want people to follow us and seek after us and want them to be in our presence. But listen, if you're not in the presence of God, you really don't have nothing to say anyway. It becomes your opinion. When it comes to people, let me say it this way. People in general need to hear the voice of the Lord. They need to know that God cares. And we as his people need to be in his face continually so that when he brings us before someone else, we actually have something to say that is going to minister to the need of the person that whose presence we're in, whether saved or unsaved. I find, amen, even as I look on Facebook in different avenues, social medias, people are hurting. People are really hurting. People are searching for answers, both the saved and the unsaved. People are going through real issues, circumstances, and they really need the voice of God in their ears. They really need to see his hand moving in their life. They need someone to speak to their heart situation, the thing that keeps them up at night, huh? The idea that sits upon their heart or in their mind that's constantly turning over. And we as his people, whether pastors, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, pastors, we need to be in that place in him. And what is that place? Continuously in him, seeking his face and to be in his presence continually. We need to be continually in his presence so that when we get before whoever we see on a daily basis, then we have an answer. And believe it, people of God, God wants his children to have answers. God doesn't want to be hidden. Now, you have some that are, you know, they just completely don't want to have anything to do with God. I'm not talking about those. But even at that, God still has an answer. We just have to be in a place where we're able to, a place in him where we are able to give that answer and to be that answer. We have to be more, amen, than just trying to minister to our own. I used to have, before the Lord brought a clear understanding, I would see people that were reaching out to those that were lost and I understood the evangelistic part. I understood that part. But I also would see people reaching out and giving them words of encouragement by the word of the Lord. And I would see people do, or the Lord would use people for signs, wonders, and miracles. And I used to sit back in the judgmental, critical way, talking about that can't be God. But when you really check the Bible, you see Jesus minister to those who did not know him. Salvation wasn't in the world until after he died. But while when he was here, he ministered and healed, delivered, raised folks from the dead. Everybody didn't believe in him. He came out of the synagogue. He came out of the four walls. He came out of the revival. And he actually ministered to those that were the unchurched nowadays, the seekers. It's a reason why people are called seekers. They're looking for answers. They're looking for answers in God. And believe it or not, people of God, because the church is still struggling and fighting among itself and going through its own little issues, isms, and schisms, we're missing out, amen, on being the answer. And these churches are raising up The enemy's making sure he has the answer. It's the wrong answer, but he's making sure he's putting a false answer in front of him, because many of us are too caught up. Or we're trying to stay in our four walls and just minister to those we know. Verse 11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Seek the Lord and his strength. Yearn for and seek his face, and to be in his presence continually. Earnestly remember the marvelous deeds which he has done. His miracles. His miracles, or King James, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. The Amplified says, his miracles and the judgments he uttered. Well, two. Just that word alone, seek. Or sought. My God. Listen, it means to go to search for, to try to discover. We must try to seek after him, to inquire of him. He has the answers. Even in our prayer, some of us are getting frustrated in our prayer lives, because we're not taking enough time to just give praise and thanks. We're trying to tell him what we need him to do and how we need him to do it. Listen, people of God, there are many prayer warriors and intercessors that are out there that whose names will never get recognized by the lights and the camera, but they are just as powerful. They are in the kingdom. And my whole thing is, as I said before, God is no respecter of person. You and I can also have that same stance with him. If we do what we need to do, if we seek him, if we give him praise, if we give him thanksgiving, if we sell out to the things of the flesh and accept the will and the purpose that God has placed on us, if we lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, if we decide to make him Lord over all our life, not certain areas, but all of our life. He says, seek his, remember, verse 12, he says, remember his marvelous works which he has done, his work, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth, O seed of Israel, his servant. You children of Jacob, his chosen ones, we the church, his chosen ones. He's saying, listen, remember what I have done for you. You need to tell somebody. We need to let somebody know. Like I said, outside of our little four walls, outside of our little group, outside of the people we're just comfortable with. And some of us, the people we are around, we don't never let them know what God is doing. We need to let somebody know how faithful God has been to you. Because let's face it, he's going to be more faithful to us than we will ever be to him. The Message Bible says it this way, starting at the 8th verse, and I'm going to read down real quick. He said, listen, thank God, exclamation point, thank God. Call out his name. Tell the whole world who he is and what he's done. Sing to him. Play songs for him. Sometimes I wish I was I've always wanted to be a singer in my if I had a choice. But I know why God didn't put me there, because it just would have been all full of flesh anyway. But oh, I wish I was a singer, that I was just could hit some crazy, stupid notes, amen, and just begin to sing to him. Just to express to him. Sometimes it's words and spiritual songs that are raised up in my spirit while I'm praying. And I just wish I could just sing them like I feel them and hear them in my spirit. Or play songs for him. It just amazes me how musicians, truly gifted musicians, can just hear a tune and just play what they hear. It amazes me how people do that, or how God uses people to do that. But it says here, play songs for him. Broadcast all his wonders. That means tell somebody about him. His goodness, his kindness, his love, his faithfulness. Let's face it, y'all. Things God has done for us, we weren't always on top of it 24/7. We didn't always have our A game on it. Some of us had our lips poked out and our arms crossed. Some of us was ready, if you don't do something, I'm about to walk up out of here. We were talking foolishness. Some things we don't even deserve, but because of his love for us, thank you, Jesus, his love for us, he gave us his mercy. He still did it for us anyway. So you can't sit up here and talk about, well, you know, I had to hold out. He did it for you because he loved you. You still need to tell somebody. And we need to be honest sometimes and say, listen, I didn't have it together. Let the truth be known. I didn't have it together. I was acting crazy. But God was still faithful. And let me tell you what he did. We're not saying that to give an excuse. But we just need to let people know. We ain't always on top of the faith mountain. Sing to him. Play songs for him. Broadcast all his wonders. Revel in his holy name. God seekers, I like that. God seekers, be jubilant. Study God. That means you got to put some effort into this. Study God. And his strength. Seek his presence day and night. Remember all the wonders he performed. Study God. You want to know him? Get in his face. You want to know him? Get in his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's when faith comes. When you begin to learn him, he'll reveal himself. He will. He's not trying to hide and play hide and seek with you. He wants to reveal himself to you, but do you really want him to reveal himself? Do you really want to know him at that next level? Do you want to know him beyond the blessing? Study him. That means even after your Wednesday Bible study or your Tuesday Bible study, that means even after your Sunday service, and your revivals in between, that means you got to take some time in your life to pick up the book, pick up the word, and get in there and know him and read it for yourself. While you're praying, while you're fasting, while you're fellowshipping, and his strength, learn his character. Jesus said, as I see the Father do, that I do. He also said, my will or my food is to do the will of the one who sent me and to complete his work. We're trying to do a work, but we don't know the will of God in it. Hmm? Study God in his strength. Seek his presence day and night. Remember all the wonders he's performed, the miracles and the judgments that came out of his mouth. Seed of Israel, his servant. Children of Jacob, his first choice. He's God. But not only that, he's our God. He's your God. He's my God. He's just not the God that belongs to, well, he's the God of so-and-so, so he must not be for me. No, God is for whoever's for him. Or I should say, God is for the one for anybody that's doing his will. God is for the one that's obedient. If you are obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land. And yes, his thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are above our ways. We're not going to know everything that God does and why he does what he does. But we have to trust him and understand that his judgments, whatever they may be, are right. He is our God. And wherever you go, you come on his judgments and his decisions. He keeps his commitments. I love it. He keeps his commitments across thousands of generations. So God made a commitment since the beginning of time, and he still has made sure that that commitment has followed through all the way to the end. But the question is, are you just as committed unto him as he is unto us? The covenant he commanded, the same one he made with Abraham, the very one he swore to Isaac, he posted it in big block letters to Jacob. This eternal covenant with Israel, I give you the land of Canaan. This is your inheritance, even though you're not much to look at, a few straggling strangers. In other words, while we got to give thanks because, and I'm wrapping this up, we got to give thanks because we have to understand for many of us, God done put us on the backside of the desert. Why? Because he's birthing his will and his purpose in us. And when your time comes to make your entrance, your cue, you got to be ready. But what he's teaching you is to give him thanks while you're on the other side. That way, when he puts you in front of those, when he gives you the favor and puts you in front of those people, you won't get caught up in their accolades. You won't get caught up in they're the reason why you made it here and they're the reason why you're doing this. You'll understand who put you there. And you'll also understand that you must continuously give him thanks and praise and tell other people about his goodness. And your voice must get louder and louder about how wonderful and excellent he is. And not somewhere fading into the darkness. You started off well, and there's too many people that have started off well singing praises unto him and glorifying him. And as they were doing that, he was taking them higher and higher. But somewhere along the way, the voices of man or the voices of the circumstances started creeping in. And instead of giving him the glory, we started giving them the glory or giving it the glory or giving us the glory. As we continuously seek him and seek his face. Just wanted to put that in your heart, amen, and realize that even though some people or many people may look at you and see that you're not much, you got to know that God's hand and his favor is with you. Don't forget to give him thanks. Come on, let us pray. Father, right now in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, I give you praise. I give you glory. I thank you. Thank you for another year. I thank you for bringing us through and through the year that this has been, 2013. I thank you for just being able to wake up and see another day. God, I thank you that your hand is up on our lives and in the lives of your people. God, I thank you for being able to just minister this word on today in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for health, life, and strength. I thank you even for the things that I cannot mention. God, you know, I thank you. I'm calling upon your name. I'm making your deeds known before people. I'm singing praises unto you, God. I bless your name. Help us, we your people, to continuously call upon your name, to continuously seek your face and seek your presence day and night, to continuously, amen, just sing unto you and play songs unto you and magnify and glorify you because of who you are. God, help us to remember to give thanks in everything, to devoutly praise you, and remain in your presence continually. Father, I thank you now that your people put a thanksgiving in our hearts, a thanksgiving in our spirit, a thanksgiving in our mouths. Hallelujah. I thank you now, God. I praise you, glorify you, in Jesus' name. For those of you who are not saved, please repeat this prayer after me. Father, please forgive me for my sins, all my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me in your blood. Make me white as snow. Come into my heart. Live forevermore. I'll serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man and woman of God, if you prayed that prayer, welcome into the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are praying for you that God will lead you to a Bible-believing and teaching church that is going to raise you up, train you in the things of God, raise you up in God's purpose so that you too can fulfill your kingdom assignment in the earth. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Once again, pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, helping us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Listen, I am Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Thank you for joining me here for Prophetic Atmosphere. I will see you again next week at 7 p.m. Have a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving. Good night.